You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 586. It's the 15th of September, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. And of course, they've got a new presentation out on the website there. Starling Wood Group, also SDY, Alan covers. Plus, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Morrisons, Tesco, and Next. I also have, of course, the top 5 most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. A big measure of sentiment. And also, if you want to see, by the way, which is also a huge measure of sentiment, over 7 days, the most followed companies, then go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. I'll also be reading out the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website. It's very popular today, actually, an RNS for a company. I'll read that in a bit. And if you want to see the most disliked, go to the website again. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list is Asia Met Resources, ARS. It's been submitted before by somebody else. But today, it's been submitted by Dr. Copper. Have some very highbrow people listening to this show, you know, I'll have you know. I'll read out the reasons why Dr. Copper thinks you should add Asia Met to your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You're all right, Al?
Morning, Justin. Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I don't know if you've had time to go through the 28-page presentation from Andalas yet, have you?
I'm scrolling through it. The RNS provides a more succinct summary, should I say. So it just really is an overview of the partnership with Pertamina. The Power Generation Working Committee is going to be chaired by the Chief Ops Officer, Simon Gorringe, and the Gas Supply Working Committee. So, you know, this is by any stretch of the imagination, it's a substantial agreement and it's a substantial partnership moving forward. And I think, you know, whatever has happened with Andalas in the past in regard to fundraising, the disappointment of earlier stage investors who bought in at over a penny, I think it's going to take time. And clearly, some people are now buying the stock at 0.16 or 0.17p and then selling out when it hits 0.2p. But I think in time, those sellers will see the bigger picture and will either sort of sell out or will stay. And I think we'll then see Andalas probably start to realise some of the potential that it has within these contracts. So David Whitby has come back and said it's a very exciting phase in the development of the company. And the work that they've already undertaken is putting the company in a strong position. The company's still well-funded going forward because it didn't have to spend the money on drilling into the Tubro Urbis concession. It was able to use the data provided by Pertamina. So, yeah, it's just really laying a very strong foundation, I think, to take the company forward. And I think the next few months we should see some exciting developments and updates from the company that start to add material value to the offering.
Yeah, it is frustrating being a shareholder. The share price is not reflecting, I don't think, the potential here. And like I said, because it's a highly traded stock, it's liquid, the spread's quite small in it, and you can trade it. And that's what we're seeing. We're making a bit of a headroom, and then all of a sudden you get a lot of people selling just to make a quick buck, you know, which, like I said, that's temporary. And hopefully when we get more material news coming out, we'll go above this range, you know, hopefully. But yeah, at the moment, we're at the whim of the traders, I think, and they're just using it to their advantage, aren't they, really?
Well, it is. I mean, Andalus is currently worth 4 million quid. You know, that's just the... I think the calibre of the people on board are enough to validate that particular validation, but to validate that particular valuation. But it's the scale of the project, the fact that they have this agreement with Pertamina, and clearly Pertamina have recognised great potential within the Andalas board and Andalas as a company to go forward and to exploit the gas to power developments and move towards solving the power shortage that Indonesia has as a nation. And you know, that's really exciting, because you know, any one of these finds on any one of these fields that they're the five stranded gas fields they're looking at could be transformational just in its own right. So the fact is, it's a multiple play in exploration, and clearly, you know, a couple of these coming together could see an absolute transformation in Andalas's valuation. But it's going to take time. You know, it won't happen overnight. But I think what we do see here is that substantial progress has been made. The foundations have been laid. The groundwork's been done. And going forward, you know, there's a real opportunity here, I think.
Yeah, okay, cool. So listen, if you want a bit of in-depth reading, you know, you can see that there's a 28-page presentation from ADL. What else are you looking at, Al?
Well, we talked about Renew Holdings last week, the mini Balfour Beatty. I've picked out another company this week, and I've done this. I've been working with a company called Vectorvest that the investors will no doubt be aware of, and it's basically a stock screening tool. And on its Unisearch function, there are opportunities to screen stocks under various criteria that you can be laid down. And I looked at something called aggressive small fry, which are smaller companies that are rising rapidly. And basically, Vectorvest attributed a valuation a metric called GRT, earnings growth rate, which reflects a 1 to 3 year forecasted growth rate in percent per year. And one of the companies that stood out on that was quite similar to Renew Holdings, a company called Stiles and Wood, STY.
STY, okay.
Yeah, so Stiles & Wood, it's still trading fairly close to its year high. It's been as low as £1.70 and as high as £4.87. Got a 34 million market cap. Now, in summary, what they do, they have a range. They're based in Altrincham near Manchester, a range of contracting, professional contracting services to banking, finance, retail and leisure, and they provide it through various divisions, portfolio and property support, project management, design and program services, and also renewable energy. So they tick all the boxes. If you were a large retail outlet and looking to employ a company to attend to all of your property portfolio needs, this is a one-stop shop. In April this year, underlying profits grew by 55%. Revenues were up nearly 20%. And it said then there was a general shortage of new office space in the UK, and the drive for operational efficiency was fueling the business model. And it's the company sees accelerating growth over the next 5 years. So Vectorvest metrics looked at this, and earlier in the year, in fact, it picked out there was real valuation in the company after the interims, attributing a value of just under £7 per share on the metric. And it's something that, I think looking at the way this company is growing, we've seen rapid growth this year, but the company does still seem undervalued given the rate at which profits and revenues are accelerating forward. So it's similar to Renew Holdings in some ways, but given that, as I said last year with Renew Holdings, it's a play on the recovering UK economy or the strength of the UK economy. This is another company that's just as well positioned, and particularly with the Vector SVU, I think it's well worth a look.
Yeah, it's risen strongly, isn't it? Last few sessions there.
Well, it has. Yeah, it has. But it's risen strongly based on the accelerated profits and revenues at the interims. We are also in the run up to the results, but we're also now in the run up to the interim results, which I think are in the fourth week of September. So you'll often see a growth company in the month prior to the interims. There's often a dip off in the share price, and it seems to have done that. But I know this morning the shares are up a couple of percent, and it could be a good opportunity to get in now, because clearly if the results are in line or exceed expectations, then we could see a further re-rating and perhaps heading towards that Vector Vest valuation of nearly £7 a share.
Yeah, or as we know, with shares, things like to travel, don't they? And then, sometimes they pull back. I mean, because if you see there's a spike in the chart there on the 10th of June up to 435. Yep. And then it came back all the way back down to, God, look at that. It came back from 435 down to pretty much 234. And it's taken a couple of months to get back up there, and it's pierced through that level now, a nice strong bar through there. And so you would suggest, obviously, previous resistance, new support there at 435 maybe. So it may even come back to that. You never know, but it seems a good support level there. All right.
Well, go on. I think it is. I think as well. The Stars and Wood obviously is one company thrown up, but we've also seen a couple over the last few weeks as well. Mobile Streams and AliMask. So the company have a trial at £5.95. We can trial it for 5 weeks and just examine all of these stocks and all of these players. And clearly, 5 weeks is long enough to conduct an assessment and make a trade on some of the stocks that the programmers picked up. So, food for thought.
Marvellous. Thanks so much, Al. Speak next week.
Thanks, Just. That's great. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey of financialorbit.com. You all right, Chris?
Hi there, Justin. Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. Well, despite the advent of new volatility in the world's financial markets.
Yeah, well, the saying is, go away in May, come back St. Ledger Day. And it's been St. Ledger Day. And it seems like everyone's gone away again, or they're selling again. What's happened?
Well, suddenly people have discovered that actually, despite the saying, which, broadly speaking, I have some sympathy with, actually, the world's worst months for stock market performance tend to be in the sort of September-October period.
Yeah.
So, we've seen a barrage of charts, etc., which have talked through why actually you should be ultra cautious over the next 4 weeks because statistically X, Y, Z, etc. But of course, as the reality always is, if too many people think that, then the logical thing is for markets to fall before that period and actually not do what people think during the anticipated dire period, which I kind of feel is probably where we are. We've had a bit of volatility. No doubt things like the bond markets have led it. You and I have talked before about the craziness in the bond markets. And I think, when you see corporate borrowers sort of establishing bonds at negative interest rates for a few years duration, that's absolutely crazy. So bond markets, thankfully, have sort of started to back off a bit. And that's temporarily dragged down some equity markets. But actually, I think many of the themes for equity markets still remain intact. And certainly from a stock picking perspective, there are things to be doing. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't be sort of advocating passive funds. My view is stay active, look for individual equities of interest and focus on those. And, you know, that suits me, and I'm sure it suits you down to the ground.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like we have had quite a good summer as far as stocks are concerned, you know, especially at the lower end of the market, especially, I know. And so it's almost a case of, like, you know, managing expectations. The market can't keep rising month on month. And knowing that fact that September, October, very volatile months, it's almost, you know, sometimes maybe worth taking a bit of profit and sitting back and looking for some bargains. Anything?
As I think it was John Paul Getty once famously said that he always took his profits early, and you can never take a profit too early, I guess. But the reality is there are things to be doing, and when you get a bit of market volatility, you get a bit more differentiation in share prices. That's actually good news for the active stock picker. What you don't want is a market where everything goes up and people don't really know why. And we had aspects of that during 2016 and previous years as well. I kind of feel we're getting much more back to a differentiated active market, which I think for stock pickers is great news. And for individual investors trying to work out how to beat professional fund managers, these are the sort of conditions you want. This is where a bit of research, a bit of nous, some risk control and related will really pay off.
Yeah, I'm looking at the FTSE winners so far today. We got in the top four, we've got three supermarkets. Morrison's leading the way, Tesco in second, Sainsbury's in third. Amongst the losers, we've got Next and Marks and Spencer's and Argos Lansdowne. So what are you looking at? What's your eyes on, Chris?
Yeah, there's a couple of themes there, aren't there? Let's start with the food retailers first. Mm. And it's kind of interlinked with what we were talking about 2 minutes ago about the bond markets, because bond markets are backing up because there is no value there, but also a fear that there's going to be a bit of inflation over the next year or so, courtesy of the lower pound, as well as things like higher energy prices and lapping easy comparisons. Now, a bit of inflation is actually, it's good news for some sectors and bad news for others. It's typically very good news for food retailers, because you can design a variety of trading strategies if you've got an underlying food price which is going up slightly. We haven't seen that in recent years. We've seen Lidl and Aldi and others come into the UK food market, shake it up, and cause a lot of price deflation, and of course famously big profit warnings at Tesco's and the other big players. Now Morrison's and Tesco's and the other names, they worked out that there is a way they can compete with the Aldis and Lidls of this world, and that is by using their natural economies of scale advantage. You know, something like a Morrison's, it is vertically integrated. It has suppliers that belong to the Morrison's brand and family, and feed their products straight into their industrial units to package them and process them and then into the shops. And actually, that's a great advantage. The still newish CEO of Morrison's has actually gone basically for a back to basic strategy. Nothing particularly sort of elaborate or different, but actually something very solid. And he's doing all the sensible little things you need to do to help turn it around. So progress there today is good. Sales are going up, debt is going down, and that's a great combination. The shares have had a great run. They were 50p or cheaper just a few months ago. That they've now broken back through the £2 level. And it's, I would say, if you believe in the Morrison's turnaround, and the best way to do it is actually go and visit one of the stores. Because if you go into the store, particularly if you haven't been there for a while, and it resonates with you as a shopping experience, then you should also not only buy some products from there, but also buy the shares, because that's what it's all about today. It's all about resonating with the customers, because at a certain level, Tesco's and Sainsbury's and even Asda are doing all the same things, and they're trying to differentiate based on how they can attract customers or not. So I think for this moment in time, Morrison's, I would say, well done to anyone who's held it. I do own a few shares, and I'm really pleased to see them above £2. I'm not chasing them here. I would say go into a store, see what you think. In terms of a level to perhaps get interested in them, if you're not owning them already, I'd suggest the 180s.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Looking at the chart there, Morrison's, it's failed twice now at £2.10. It'd be interesting to see if it can push up. Having said that, this time round, the 200-day moving average looks a bit more bullish. So maybe it has got the momentum to get through it, you know? But do you know what struck me the other day? I was looking at just TV and talking about being in touch. And I was looking at the adverts of Tesco and then Lidl and Aldi. And Lidl and Aldi have got it right. They're focusing on the food, the quality, and saying this is award-winning, this is how much it costs. And they really are, you know, telling people what they can buy the food, which is why people go into supermarkets. I look at Tesco's, and they've got Ruth Jones and another celeb talking about the scanners. And I'm thinking, that is, it's food you should be focusing on, the quality of food and how much you can get it for, not the scanners. It's, I mean, yeah. They just haven't got it. People don't really care. I mean, I don't know what percentage of people use those scanners, but the majority of people go in the shops to buy food, not to use the scanners, you know? So, I mean, yeah. And Aldi and Lidl really got it focused on the quality and the delivery, the price of their food, which is right, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. But you need to remember, Aldi and Lidl, when you go in there, it's a much narrower range of products.
Yeah.
Now, Tesco's, their big success in the, when you and I were growing up in the 80s, 90s, etc., is when they extended the typical food retail shop into a lot of non-food stuff. And so they're still sort of rowing back a bit from that. They still got a bunch of two big stores, and they're trying to work out what they're doing with them. And hence why, if they just focus on the food, actually, that's not going to be enough to fill up their stores. That's sort of still a structural problem Tesco's has. Nevertheless, you're right. It always is about the food. It's also about the shopping experience and whether people feel as if this is an all right place to shop or not. And a lot of Asda's problems have, I think, been because ultimately, do people think it's a nice place to shop, or is it just a bit too price focused and related? And perhaps people want a slightly warmer kind of feeling, as I say, to resonate and feel as if they can kind of really buy into the brand way beyond just whether my shop is cheaper or stuff like that. So I think with Morrison's, I think they've done a lot of that. They're playing up the Northern heritage. I think that's all, they're all positives. I think they're doing much, much better. The debt going down is great news. I would say if you don't own it here, no need to rush. 180s is the level to start sniffing around. But big picture, if you're thinking food retailers are absolutely sunk, forget it. Because with a bit of inflation, they'll do a little bit better.
Yeah, and I was chatting to, I think, Simon French from Pamela Gordon, who's talking about, like you were saying, that food inflation is coming back. It's been away for a while, but there we are. It's a revisit of that. Yeah, so very interesting there. But all I know is this, you know, if I'm getting offered a nice steak for £3, award-winning, from this country, or the chance to use a scanner, I know where I'm going. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I tell you what is interesting, though, but prevailing today, and that's next. When I last looked, literally 10 minutes ago, the shares just dipped below that £50 level.
Yeah.
But this is, now, you know, we all know the problems with Next. I'm not a big shopper at Next, to be honest, but, I've observed their effortless rise and now sort of slight stumble in the last year or two. But here's my observation. They've got a fantastic directories business. And obviously they, as with everybody else, are struggling to work out exactly how to make their high street shops work. And this obviously at a time when there's a bit more competition, you know, your sort of H&Ms and Zara's and whatever have really got their act together and firing hard as well. So, you know, you put all of that together and Next have had a few challenges. The company's still just about growing. It's still paying a very good dividend. It's still looking to buy back shares in order to augment shareholder return. And they're going through sort of a little transitional point back off difficult comparisons and just working out the next angles and the next move. It's never going to be a super trendy shop. It's quite middle of the road, but there's nothing wrong with that. Let's face it, that's the majority of the shoppers' experience and certainly where they put their money week in, week out. What I think is interesting about Next is that the shares have come back a lot. People have lost faith. I keep on hearing City contacts talking about how, you know, they've sold down their Next overweights. You know, they've lost faith in the company and its direction. And when I hear capitulation like that, I start getting interested. Mm-hmm. You'll note that the last time they popped below £50 a couple of months ago, they didn't stay there too long. And I think this sort of £45 to £50 area, very interesting. I can get the numbers to work. Lowish valuation, single-digit EV EBIT, decent dividend yield. Certainly with the buyback, you're getting high single-digit yield return, remuneration return to shareholders. I think it's an interesting stock today. And in terms of something which is, yeah, undoubtedly interlinked with the UK consumer, because they are very, very UK biased almost exclusively, there is undoubtedly a little bit of UK economy play in that. But I like a lot of the other sort of post-Brexit things that fell off sharply, the house builders and related. Clearly, Next does not bounce back. I would say there are some angles there. For patient shareholders, you'll be very well rewarded over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and even looking at the RSI, it's now touching oversold where it did go down to that last spike down. What was that? On the 27th of June, where it went down to...
What happened on the 27th of June, Justin? Any ideas?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea, actually. I can't think of an idea. But it went down to... It touched £36 there. Go. It'd be interesting to see how close to that it gets.
I don't think many people trade it at 36 quid. I think if you look, more of the action has taken place in that kind of 45 level.
There we are. There's your price alert saying buy next there, Chris.
Absolutely. That was actually, but there you go. Buy next. I think that's kind of quite interesting. You'll be rewarded, albeit that you need to take, a 1 to 2 year view to get the most out of it. But good dividend yield, good shareholder remuneration whilst you wait.
Okay, marvellous. Chris, thanks very much. Speak next week.
Justin, absolutely delighted. See you soon.
Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, it's Prem. Premier African Minerals. At 4, 88 Energy. At 3, Tolu Energy. At 2, new entry, Sapura, SEPU. And at number 1, the most followed company in the last 24 hours, is Redhall Group, RHL. I know nothing about that company. I'm going to check them out, see what they're all about. If you want to see the most followed companies in the last 7 days, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, click on my blog post there, you'll see it. Okay. The most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website today, in the last 24 hours, this is, by the way, is Asia Met Resources. And that's the Asia Met BKM feasibility drilling highlights excellent continuity of shallow copper mineralization. If you want to see the most disliked RNS, again, go to Vox Markets, blog. Dr. Copper today is suggested, by the way, Asia Met Resources as a stock you should add to your watch list. Of course, the ticker is ARS, A-R-S. And what does the company do? Asia Met Resources is a dynamic junior company focused on the exploration and development of its portfolio of large copper gold deposits on the Indonesian islands of Kalimantan and Sumatra, adjacent to the key growth markets in Asia. Both deposits contain NI 43101 compliant mineral resources and remain open in several directions. How many shares does the company have? 622 million. What's current price and market cap? It's 2.4 pence, 15 million. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? No revenues yet, but the loss for the 6 months was $808,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? $1.9 million, as stated in the half-year report. 6 months ended 30th of June, 2016. No debt! List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, Tony Manini and management have a track record of taking small exploration assets through development into production. For example, Oxyan Limited was taken from $3 million market cap to a pan-Asian diversified commodity producer, which sold after 8 years for $5.6 billion. Wow. And I've had Tony on the podcast, and he's a really nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, and he wants to do this again. This is not some companies they explore, then prove up the asset a bit and sell it on. Tony's not it's building a mine is a huge undergoing. So Tony, completely wants to build a mine, wants to get it out there, wants to produce, and wants to build up these assets, and he does want to sell for billions of again. That's his ambition. He wants to do that, and he's done it before. In fact, not just with Oceana, he did it with other things as well. So he's the man. Of course, I do hold a bit of stock, gotta say that. Number two, good assets. See today's RNS that shows resource infill and extension drilling in progress as part of the feasibility studies on BKM. Copper deposit in central Kalimantan continues to demonstrate excellent continuity of shallow copper mineralization within BK058 and BK044 high grade zones. They also have other assets, BKM, which even at small is the smaller of the assets. They also have the monster Bhutong copper gold asset and Jelaya gold asset, which they're probably going to sell and therefore bolster the balance sheet. BKM has delivered a PEA showing an NPV, a net present value of $204 million, after-tax internal run rate, a return of 38.7, extremely low C1 costs of 1.28 per pound, and gross revenues over the life of the mine of $1.27 billion. You should also note the copper market is going into a supply deficit in the next few years. And number three, Reason three, Tony is well connected to high net worths, and when they raise money, it's never done at a great discount. He's also a large shareholder, and so his interests are aligned with other shareholders. So that's Asia Met Resources, ARS, a ticker easy to remember. You know, who can forget ARS, eh? So I'd highly advise you to do a bit of research there and put it on your watch list, as does Dr. Copper. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.